Have you ever looked at one of those hidden image, like picture things? I think they're called Magic Eye back in the day. Like they actually made books and books of them. You could sort of look and try to find the hidden picture in a certain image. They've got an example for you you can check out. Now you can just stare at this until an image pops out at you. I encourage you to go ahead and give it a try. I can't find anything. I was never good at this stuff. Some people would say, well, just focus really, really hard on it. And others would say, don't really focus on it. Let your eyes just sort of wander around it. Some would say, pull it close. Some would say, hold it far away. Some would say, cross your eyes and let things get a little bit blurry and the image will pop out at you. And listen, none of that ever worked. I passed this exact picture around last night at a dinner party for a friend. There were a few people at the table that could find it. There's an eagle in this picture sitting on a rock. I can't see it at all, right? No matter what I do, no matter how bad I wanted to see it, I just couldn't. And I'll say this, talking to people over the years, not about this, but about God and His Word, I found that many people view God's will for their lives just like that. They know that God has a will for their life. They know that God has a plan for them, but no matter how much they focus or how much they stare, they can't seem to find it. A lot of people have been like that. So if you're thinking that way, trying to find and discern God's will for your life, you are not alone. The question we're answering this morning as we continue our Reset series, it's a big one. It's, can I know God's will for my life? Sometimes we wonder that to ourselves. We wonder, is my life on the right track? Maybe we're thinking, well, you know, what college should I go to? Or maybe in this service, we're thinking, how should I pay for my kids' college that they've chosen to go to? We think, is this job right for me? Or should I make a move? Is it time for a career change? Is it time to retire? We think, should I buy this house or not? Should I live there or not? Should I go to this city or stay put where I'm at? Am I dating the right person? Should I pursue marriage with this person? Are we ready to take the next step? What's God's will for my life? We have so many decisions to make. How can we know that we are making the right ones? Or even bigger, does God care about these decisions? Does God actually have a plan for me? All great questions, especially if our heart's desire is to walk with Jesus. So let me go ahead up front and say yes. Yes, God does care. Yes, God does have a plan. And yes, you can know His plan. We're going to bounce to several different parts of Scripture this morning, but our first passage is in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. After that, we're going to jump to Romans chapter 8, and we'll sort of move through God's Word this morning. In Jeremiah 29, 11, it's a familiar passage to a lot of people in the room, probably. It says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." This was God's word to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah as they were exiled in Babylon. They thought they'd been forgotten. They didn't know what was next for them. They didn't know how God was going to continue to unroll or unfold His plan. And God reminds them, I do have a plan for you. Right? And it's coming around. Seek me, you'll find me with all your hearts. Romans chapter 8 in the New Testament, verse 28, another familiar passage says this, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes." So Old Testament to New Testament, we see God has a plan. Right? As children of God, we can be encouraged from these verses that He does have that plan, that He is in control, that God has got it. Now, the way that we discover God's specific plan for our life, it might not be how you've always thought. It's not like staring at one of those magic eye pictures, hoping that all of a sudden one day God's full plan with details and dates and a timeline is going to pop out for you. Sometimes we hope it's that way, but in doing so, we're making it more complicated than we need to. So again, the question is, how do I know God's will for my life? Sometimes we ask that question from a place of fear. We're scared we're going to make the wrong choice, that we're going to marry the wrong person, pick the wrong job, pick the wrong college, and when we do, our lives will blow up, and we'll miss God's will, and everything's going to fall apart. That's not how it works. I want to be careful as we walk through God's Word this morning to help us know how to discern God's will for our lives. I've got a list this morning. If you're taking notes, you can write this at the top. Qualifications to knowing and doing God's will. First for us on that list, if we want to know and do God's specific will for our lives, is this. We have to know God and be in a growing relationship with Him. That's where it all starts. Before anything else or any other decision, God's will, His desire for you, is to be in a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:3, God's word says, this is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires, or His will, is for all people to be saved and to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Let's make sure this morning at the beginning of our time in the Word that our focus is in the right place. Before we can know the will of God, we have to know God Himself. It starts with a personal relationship with Him. And here's the deal. Right? Not only does God desire for us to know Him, to be in a relationship with Him through Jesus, God desires that in that relationship, we are sanctified. Right? So if you have trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, His desire for you in that relationship is your ongoing sanctification. 1 Timothy 4:3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Go down a few verses and it says, for God has not called us for impurity, but He's called us in holiness. God's will for you, according to His word for you, is that you're in a relationship with Him and that you are sanctified. Now, we don't use the word sanctified too terribly often. It's probably not in your daily vocabulary, but maybe it should be, right? Because we see that's God's will for us. Here's what sanctified means. Sanctified means to be set apart and holy. Sanctified means to be pure before Him. It means turning from the ways of this world, right? The ways of sin, turning from the darkness, and walking with Him, pure and set apart for His purposes. We looked at that last week in 1 John, remember? Turning from darkness, not just to the light, but actively walking in the light that God gives us. It's walking with Jesus. And it's an ongoing process that happens in our relationship with God, right? That process of sanctification, it happens throughout our lives as we walk with Him, where He's shaping us, where He's shaping our hearts and our lives, where He peels back the issues, where He helps root out sin, where He helps unload the baggage that we carry in our life. He deals with that to make us more and more like Him every single day. That's the process of sanctification, right? We shouldn't be the same people that we were when we trusted Christ. Every day we should look more and more like Him as we walk with Him. Don't think of God as a police officer at an intersection with a whistle and a flashlight. And when you pull up to the intersection, you're just pointed a specific way to go. Okay, you go here, now you go here, now you go straight ahead. Don't think of God like that at all when you're facing these moments in life. Think of God instead as a sculptor in your life, constantly working on you, molding you, shaping you more and more every day to look like Him through the process of sanctification, growing in your walk with Him. Isaiah 64:8 says that. But now, O Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of Your hand. Here it is. Know this up front. We'll get more technical as we go, but just know this. Ultimately, God's will, it's not so much about what we do as it is about who we are. As we walk with God, as we allow Him to shape us, we're going to grow in love because God is love. We're going to grow in wisdom because God is the source of all wisdom. We're going to grow in holiness as He peels that sin out of our life. We're going to grow in gratitude and thanksgiving. We're going to love our neighbor as ourself, like Jesus has called us to. We're going to walk in integrity. Understand this morning, God's will for our lives, it's to live like that. No matter what job we take, no matter where we go to college or where our kids go to college, no matter who we marry or whether we marry at all or what house we buy or where we live, it's about who we are so much more than it is about what we do. God wants us to desire Him in a relationship with Him more than we desire His answers. Does that make sense? Think about that. God wants us to come to Him, to know Him, to be molded and shaped by Him, not just to show up when we want Him to bless plans that we have already made. We've got a perfect example of that in God's Word with David and with Saul, the first two kings of Israel. David was the second king, but we're going to look at him first. David had a great start as the king of Israel. He was faithful. He loved God. He was wise. He ruled the people with kindness and with grace and with goodness until he didn't. Right? There was a moment where David had an affair. And then to cover up the affair, David had the husband of the woman killed. People found out about it. David goes on the run. David needs some next steps. David had messed up in a pretty big way. And he didn't know what to do. So he goes to God. Listen to his prayer in Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, in you I trust. He clearly needs direction. He clearly needs some next steps. He didn't go before God, though, and ask for an answer. He doesn't go before God and say, God, I've messed this up. Here's my plan to get out of this predicament in my life. Will you bless my plan? No, he's saying, God, I want you. I want what you want. I trust you with my heart, my life, and my soul. Saul had a moment like this too, where he goes before the Lord, but he approached it differently. 1 Samuel 28, Saul's army is going to go battle against the army of the Philistines, and he's scared. And so he prays to God, and the Bible says that God does not answer him. And so in 1 Samuel 28:15, Saul goes to find Samuel, God's prophet, and he says, the Philistines are fighting against me, and God has departed from me. God no longer answers me. And so Samuel explains to Saul why this is. A few verses later, verse 18, it says, the Lord has done this very thing to you today because you did not listen to the Lord's voice. And when you read the whole story, here's the deal. You see that Saul had been walking with God. He had heard the Lord's voice. He knew what God wanted him to do. But all of a sudden, he said, I'm done with that. He stopped walking the Lord's way, even though he knew what it was. And he began walking his own way. He had hardened his heart to God. And now he faces this moment of crisis or trouble, and he runs to God. He doesn't really want God's will. He wants God to bless the plans that he has made. His plan wasn't to draw close to the Lord. His plan was to go to God, hoping that God would tell him what he wanted to hear. We can't approach it like that. Pastor Mark Batterson says this, if you aren't willing to listen to God in everything he says, you eventually won't hear anything God has to say. Before we get too far down our outline this morning, discovering God's will and plans for our life, let's make sure when we say God's will for my life, that we have the emphasis in the right place. As we seek God's will, when you're asking that question, is your emphasis in the sentence on God's will or is it on my life? A lot of times we're focused on our lives like Saul, when we need to look more like David and focus on God's will. Our focus, our heart needs to be his will. And when it is, we can trust that he is going to show us how we can live in a way that is pleasing to him. Live in relationship with Jesus. Trust him as your Savior and every day. Right? Allow him to work on you through that process of sanctification, making you more and more like him. Step two to knowing and discerning God's will for your life, God's will for your next step, God's will for your family. It's this, surrender to God's plans. Galatians 2:20 says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. When it comes to God's will for us, sometimes we get in this little wrestling match with God. We've got our plans, and we hold on to them tight, and we keep trying to steer the ship in a certain direction to go towards our plans. Here we see we're called to surrender to his will. There's this couple, Steve Trotter and Lori Martin. Probably never heard of them. Fascinating, though. They decided at one point that they wanted to spend $25,000 on a capsule that was 10 feet long, 6 feet wide, incredibly reinforced, very, very strong, and it was equipped with air tanks so they could be the first man and woman together to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel. Many had tried before, individually. Some lived, some didn't. They wanted to be the first to go over as a couple, and of course they wanted to live. So they got on land, about 100 yards up from the waterfalls. Think about how powerful this waterfall is. 100 yards up, they got in, they locked the capsule, they had their friends come and push them into the river. And once it was in the river, there's no turning back. For 15 seconds, they floated, unable to stop it even if they wanted to. They got to the edge of the waterfalls, and they were gone, right, over the waterfalls together. And they lived. Would you do that, by the way? No. See how high that is? See how much water that is? Right, no chance I'm getting in there. Why don't you think for a minute? They had 15 seconds before that happened to them. Think about those 15 seconds. Where's your mind going when you're in there? Probably praying, right? They got in, that they had surrendered their lives completely to the power of that river. They had no control over it. And as we contemplate the reality of God's will for our lives, sometimes it's tough for us because we're the kind of people that want to be in control all the time. We want to call all of our own shots. We want to know our own future. We want to know what's next. We want to know all of the different variables that could affect our lives, our family, our kids, or whatever, because we want to exercise all the control we have over those variables. Here's the problem with that. Right? God's will, it's not about control. Right? God's will is about surrender. Right? Like Steve and Lori in that river, and I don't mean go do something crazy or irresponsible. I'm just saying that God's will in our lives, if we're going to hear it, know it, understand it, it requires this kind of surrender. We saw David pray that earlier. God, I lift my soul to you. I trust in you. I put my life in your hands. Right? That's the first step. We've got to open our hands up a little bit. Right, we've got to stop being so controlling and holding on tight to what we want. We've got to open our hands and put ourselves in a place of surrender where God can truly speak to us. Moses is a great example of that. He goes to the burning bush. He doesn't present God this master plan for how to rescue his children from Egypt. He goes, he hears from God, and he walks in obedience and trust. The disciples in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus calls them for the first time, they're just doing their thing by the side of the sea, and they're fishing. They've got their nets there. Jesus says, hey, follow me. And they had heard of Jesus before. They'd seen him teach and do some of these things and say they knew that when Jesus called, they could trust in him. And immediately, this is what they did to their plans. They just let go. Right, they put themselves in a position to hear, and they walked with Jesus. Us too, right? Don't hold on so tight, thinking things have to be your way. Right, release control to him. Next, to determine God's will for your life, read the Bible. All right, the more you study the Bible, the more it saturates your mind, the more it shapes your heart. And as it shapes your heart, it's going to shape your life. Romans 12:2 commands us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. When we get into the Word of God gets into us, and then it comes out in how we live our lives. Here's a reminder, right, that we all need as we're talking about God's will this morning. His will for our lives, it will never contradict or go against the Word of God, ever. Run through your decisions, run them through God's Word. The easy, very silly example, if you feel like God is calling you to alleviate the financial strain in your home by robbing a bank tomorrow morning, I'm just telling you, God didn't call you to that because it directly goes against His Word. If you feel like God's saying, hey, you know what, this marriage has been great, but you need to step out and go over to this person or to that person, run it through God's Word. God didn't call you to that because that is the opposite of what His Word says to do. Let your mind, your decisions, your life be shaped by the Word of God. Romans 12:2 tells us as we read the Word of God, then we'll know. We can discern His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Read the Bible. I heard a story this week about a concert violinist in New York's Carnegie Hall. Somebody asked her how she became so good at what she did. And the answer she gave, it surprised them and it surprised me. She gave them a phrase I had never heard before, but it is a phrase that will be used in my home moving forward. My kids are going to get so sick of hearing this phrase, but I think it's fantastic. How did you get so good? Her answer was this: planned neglect. Planned neglect. Meaning she planned to neglect anything and everything that was not helping her reach her goal. That was a convicting statement for me. So I evaluated my life in the moment as I heard the phrase. And the Lord convicted me. There's some things in my life I need to plan to neglect. Things that are keeping me from doing what He's called me to do. And I'm sure that your life is the same way. Maybe it's the same things, maybe it's different. There's things we need to plan to neglect that are soaking up too much of our time. Maybe we need to plan to neglect a little bit of time on our phone in the mornings or in the evenings. Maybe we need to plan to neglect Netflix or YouTube or Hulu or whatever it is that draws you in for far too long. Social media, maybe some other time killer in your life. We need to plan to neglect many of these things and instead refocus our heart on the Word of God, knowing that it shapes our mind, transforms us, so that we can know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Romans 12:2. Let's exercise some planned neglect and instead get into God's Word. Next, in discerning God's will and walking in it, we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Back in Exodus, right, Moses goes to the burning bush and encounters God there. God sends him to Egypt to deliver his people from Egypt and take them to the promised land. Miracle after miracle puts Moses in a position to lead his people out. They get to the border of Egypt. They're walking out. They know they're going to the promised land, but they don't have a map, right? They don't have a map on how to go. They don't have an iPhone where they can put in the address and just follow the blue dot all the way there. How are they going to get there? Well, if you're familiar with the story, you know God leads them, right? During the day, he puts a cloud up and says, just follow the cloud. As I move, you move. You follow me. And at night, when they're moving at night, there's a pillar of fire. And he says, when I move, you just follow me. And we read stories like that and we think, man, that would be so nice if God would guide me and lead me like that. If I had this visual in front of me and I knew that I could just go this way and things were going to work out the way they need to. If you're thinking like that, let me just remind you that if you've trusted in Jesus, God's giving you something better. Right? He's put the Holy Spirit, God himself, living inside of you. Jesus called the Holy Spirit a guide and a counselor to us. And while he might not give us an outline and a timeline and dates and decisions on what day and how to move forward, and he's given us wisdom. James 1 says, ask and he'll give wisdom generously without finding fault. Ask God for wisdom in the situation that you're navigating now. Not just wisdom, and the Holy Spirit will give you peace. He'll give you confirmation about decisions and about next steps. One of our members actually sits right over in this section, in this service, most Sunday mornings, had brain surgery on Friday to remove a large, fast-growing tumor. And of course, I mean, that's a massive thing. They wrestle with that decision, and they're wrestling with doctors or hospitals or where do we go or what do we do or how's this supposed to work and should we get a second opinion? All of these things are going on, and their hearts are in turmoil. Well, last week, man, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in them, God gave them this sense of peace. Right? A brother-in-law that lives on the other side of town ended up sitting in an elder meeting, and it just so happens the doctor performing the surgery walks in, and they get to meet each other and talk, and then the Holy Spirit's affirming, okay, this is a good thing. Then one of the daughters was getting her hair cut the next day, and the lady that cuts her hair, her husband had the exact same surgery done by the exact same doctor. The Holy Spirit worked in a way to give them this sense of peace. The surgery went great, by the way. She's doing fantastic. You might even see her next Sunday, right? An absolute miracle. God worked in a really, really powerful way. The Holy Spirit gives peace. The Holy Spirit gives the opposite of peace, too. The Holy Spirit will put a check in our spirit when things aren't right. He'll bring conviction when we're walking, right, outside of God's will and in sin. He will bring conviction to bring us back. Holy Spirit's in us as a guide and a counselor. And this too, the Holy Spirit will put desires in your heart. Okay, if you have strong, if you have recurring godly passions in your heart that come as you're being sanctified, walking with Jesus, set apart, that come as you are in the Word on a regular basis, that come as you are spending time in prayer, if these things are recurring in you, pay attention and assume that the Holy Spirit is leading you where He wants you to go. Next, as we seek to discern God's will for our life, our next steps, what we do, seek wise counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. We know the Bible calls us to live in biblical community. You cannot find believers in the New Testament living in isolation, doing life by themselves. It's always community. It's always together, which means that you and I, we should have friendships and relationships here in the church family that are shaping our lives, that are shaping our decisions, that are shaping our next steps. When we have decisions to make, we've got to bring other believers into the process with us, to pray with us, to speak wisdom into us, to look for any blind spots that we might be overlooking in our lives. A lot of times we think, man, the door's open, I'm just going to go with it. Well, sometimes wise counsel from Christian brothers and sisters can save us from ourselves. If you don't have those kind of friendships, those kind of relationships, you need them. We all do. We all do. If you're not sure where to find them, I'm just telling you, plug in a life group here at Champion Forest. Scan the QR code, click life groups, get a list of the life groups off the desk, get connected to other believers. You're not going to have that kind of relationship day one. Stick with it, right? It's absolutely worth it. We need that wise, godly counsel in our life. So let's pull these different things on the outline together as we determine God's will, God's direction for our lives. Maybe you've got a big decision in front of you right now, and you're trying to figure out which way God's called you to go. Well, as you draw close in a relationship with God, like you know Jesus is your Savior, you're daily being sanctified and growing in your relationship with Him. If you're living with open hands, surrendered to His Word, His will, His way, well, wherever He plans to take you, if you're in the Word and your mind is being transformed to know the will of God through the Word of God, if you're prayerful and sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're seeking godly counsel, if this is your life, understand, you're the pottery that we talked about. You're on the potter's wheel. You're allowing God to shape you and mold you. And if that's the case, I'll say it one more time so you don't think I'm saying something I'm not. If that's the case, when you face those big decisions in life and you're not sure what you should do, here's the answer. Do whatever you want to do. If, that's the qualifier. If you're drawing close to God, if you're surrendered to His will, if you're in His Word, if you are following the Holy Spirit, spending time in prayer, and if you're getting wise, godly counsel for your decisions. How can we say that? Some people might think that's reckless. Listen, we can say that because God is the one that is running your life. God's the one that's putting those desires in your heart. You're living a God-centered life. You're focused on Him. And what's coming out now in your motives and decisions and priorities is what God has put in as you walk with Him. God's will for your life, it's not this treasure map where you've got to find your way somewhere. It's a trust walk. And you're taking a step of trust every single day as you walk with Him. You have a big decision coming up? I promise you that God's not in heaven worried, hoping that you're going to pick the one right path for you. No, God's biggest concern is your heart. God's biggest concern is your motives, that you're walking in relationship with Him, that you're doing what He's called you to do, that you love Him with your heart, soul, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Remember, He is a good, good Father. Think about a father's plans for their kids. Think about me with my kids. What if I determined there was one right path for my kids? One right college they could pick, one right job they could take, one right spouse they could marry, and if they stepped off that path, everything would fall apart. That would be sort of weird if I laid it out for them like that, right? Get a little stranger if I predetermined all that for them and then I did not tell them what it was. I made them figure it out on their own. How cruel would that be for me as a father? But that's not how God has called us to live. When we look in the Bible, most of the examples we have of people that are living according to God's word, they're living this life, this God-focused, God-centered life that we just described. And then they're making their decisions that flow from that. Very rarely do we see God speak a specific direction and say it has to be this way and right now. Well, we do see that some. We saw it with Moses. We referenced that earlier, right? There's a point in the New Testament, Paul on his missionary journeys, he experiences what we call the Macedonian call, and God says, don't go here, don't go here, don't go here. Go here and go right now. Maybe you've had a moment like that. I can recall two moments like that with clarity in my life where God has said, no other decision will do. This is the way that I want you to go. And I want you to go right now. When God speaks like that, absolutely, we listen, we obey, and we go. But more often than not, we're free to make decisions, big and small, from a life that's surrendered to Him. If you read the book of Acts, if you read Paul's letters, so often they say, it suited us, it pleased us to go here, so we did. We desired to go here and to be with you, and so we did, right? That they're living, making decisions from lives and hearts that are just sold out following the Lord. It's back to what we said earlier. Ultimately, God's will for your life, for your decisions, for your next steps, for whatever fork in the road you're facing right now, God's will is not so much about what we do as it is about who we are. That's what's most important to God. That's what we see in His Word. He cares about our hearts, our purity. He cares about our love, our compassion, our faithfulness, our worship, our witness. Those are the big rocks. And as we seek God's will for our lives, because we all are, all the time, as we seek God's will for our lives in those big moments and those big decisions, let's make sure that our primary focus is on God's will for our hearts. And then let's make wise, godly, thoughtful decisions from hearts that are set on Him. Damon Shook was a senior pastor of Champion Forest for 27 years. He was the pastor here when I was a kid growing up. And as a high school senior, I wrestled with what I was going to do next in my life. I wrestled with the direction that I was going. I had so many questions and so much uncertainty, and I didn't know how it was all going to shake out for me. And he was kind and gracious and spent a lot of time with me that year. And he gave me a sentence I've carried with me ever since and bring it up every big moment, big decision in my life. He says this, when you're walking with God every day, as the big decisions come your way, they just seem to fall into place. If your heart's surrendered to God. He said in one sentence what I've been trying to say for 30 minutes. Walk with Jesus. Let Him mold and shape your heart to look more like Him each and every day. And then embrace the freedom to make decisions from a heart surrendered to Him. Would you bow with me this morning? As we bow this morning, thinking about God's will for our lives. That first step I gave you cannot be skipped, right? If we want to know God's will for us and follow God's path for us, it comes from a relationship with Him. God's will for every single person in this room is that we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, God desires that all of us be saved and come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And so if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do not leave here today without that doing that first. If you're in a spot in your life where you're confused and you're wandering and you feel like you don't know what's next and you're not sure where to turn, I'm telling you this morning, turn to Jesus and He'll begin to lead the way. Maybe you're here this morning and you're at that fork in the road. Maybe it's not a fork, maybe it's an intersection, and you've got a lot of choices laid out in front of you. I want to encourage you. And walk through this. Ensure that your heart is following Jesus, that you're growing in that love relationship with Him, that you're surrendered to Him, that you're not holding on tight to your plans, that you're in the Word, that you're in prayer, listening to the Holy Spirit. Get wise, godly counsel, and then go. Spend time walking with the Lord. He's going to lead the way, get you to where you need to be. You're here this morning and you want to pray about a decision you have coming up, we'd be honored to pray with you. That's the wise and godly counsel, the prayer that we've talked about. Or maybe you're here today and you have another prayer need. In just a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to stand and sing one last song, a closing song. Our pastors will be down front. They love to pray with you about anything that's going on in your life this morning. Father, we're so thankful for who You are. We're thankful for what You've done. And God, I thank You that as we walk closely with You, God, you mold us, you shape our hearts to make us look more and more like you each and every day. And God, because of that, we can walk confidently, boldly, taking that next step, trusting in you, Father. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and stand with me now as we sing. Our pastors will be here. We'd love to pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for that reminder that you will never fail. God, your plans are good. Your plans are perfect. You have a plan for us. And God, I thank you that as we walk with you, we can walk with confidence and trust that we're living a life that's pleasing to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with Him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.